Hello, and welcome to the Love Mia Vita podcast. I'm Jerry DiPiano, CEO of FemPharma. Thank you for joining me as we discuss all things women's health and wellness. Please note that this information is simply that. It's information to help you to think through your decisions. Please consult your medical practitioner to discuss your personal situation. Thank you. Hi, Allison Blod. Welcome again to the Love Mia Vita podcast. Allison Blod is a frequent guest and co-host of mine on the Love Mia Vita podcast. And Allison, share with some of our viewers and listeners a little bit more about your background. You're a nutritionist, but so much more. So perhaps you can share some of that with our listeners.
Sure. Thank you, Jerry. It's always a pleasure to be here with you on your podcast. Yes, I am a nutritional therapist and an esthetician. So I specialize in skin health as well. I basically started my journey as a nutritional therapist. Well, what triggered me was having acne at a very young age. Then even at that young age, realizing how important it was with nutrition. And even as a teenager, I actually changed a few things in my diet, saw a huge improvement in my skin. And that really kind of led me down the road of hormone health, nutrition, skincare. And I trained to be an esthetician. I then trained to be a nutritional therapist. And I specialize particularly in women's health, women 40 plus, you know, the hormonal changes, perimenopause, menopause, all of that piece, using lifestyle medicine, nutritional therapy, and mindset to really support women going through this period of their lives.
When we talk about food as medicine, and it truly is, because it does start with your diet, starts with the way in which you conduct yourself, whether it is to relieve your stress, whether it is to do exercise, all of the above. So it all matters. But based upon some of your expertise, we thought it was very important to have you address a topic that is really a top of mind for many individuals, and that is the new weight loss medications. And I'm specifically referring to the GLP-1s. Now, we've had other podcasts where we've talked about GLP-1s. So for those of you listening in that haven't tuned in to those podcasts, I also encourage you to listen in on some of the metabolic issues that are related to the GLP-1s. But today we're going to focus on two aspects of GLP-1 use. One is, what do you do from a diet and exercise and stress perspective when you're using a GLP-1, and with specific attention to nutritional considerations? And then secondarily, and probably even more importantly, what happens after you discontinue your GLP-1s when you've achieved that target weight loss, feel that, you know, you are in good shape and you've got if you're diabetic, the diabetes is under control. So now it's about maintenance, right? You've done the hard work, but now the rest of your life begins to take a turn. And that turn is a positive turn, maintaining that good progress that you've made. So Allison, let's start with, you're on a GLP-1. What are the considerations that men and women, but especially women, need to keep in mind?
Yeah, I think the first thing, and I work with clients, so I see quite a few clients that are taking these medications. And one of the main things that you have to be aware of is that you are getting enough nutrition, you know, because one of the effects of this medication is that it you don't have the same appetite. You know, your appetite will fall. You don't have the same hunger cues. So it's very easy that, you know, you just skip meals without even really thinking about it. But that isn't good, because we need nutrition, of course. You know, we need to make sure that we're getting all the macronutrients and the micronutrients and the vitamins and minerals, etc., that we need on a daily basis. So it's very important to eat. Make sure that you eat. You don't have to eat big meals, but you can eat smaller meals regularly, and making sure that the meals that you do eat are very nutrient dense. So, you know, you're getting enough of all these, you know, rich lovely nourishing foods in your diet. Because if we don't pay attention to that, as particularly as women, as we age, you can lose muscle mass, which obviously we don't want to do. We need to keep our muscles for the organ of longevity. And we also want to think about bone health, to keep our bones strong. So really making sure that you eat enough of nutrient dense foods in smaller portions, because that's been shown to be more beneficial for people on these medications, and also can help with, if you're suffering from any side effects from it, nausea in particular. It really helps to balance blood sugar and really, keep you satisfied.
What are some examples of the nutrient dense foods that women can consume in smaller portions? Because I've heard this before from individuals that have been on GLP-1s. They just don't have an appetite, so they tend not to eat, and that's not good for them because then they will experience other types of side effects.
A nice nutrient dense food is, for example, a chia pudding. The chia seeds that you can buy, they're very nutrient rich. They've got a lot of omega-3 fatty acids in, fiber, etc. And what you can do with them, you can soak them in milk. You can use like a nut milk or a normal, full fat milk, and put some seeds in there, put maybe some berries. And it's actually quite light. It's not a heavy meal, but it's nutrient dense. So that's quite a nice thing to have as a snack or breakfast. Another, I'm a big fan of avocados. If you can get nice quality avocados, that's a lovely thing to have as well as on a piece of toast, sourdough bread. You could have some avocado with a slice of salmon on there. You've got all your lovely healthy fats in there and your protein, which is very important. Fatty fish, again, as an evening meal, you could have salmon, you could have lots of lovely vegetables like asparagus, cauliflower, cabbage, all of those things. Some whole grains like whole grain rice, quinoa is a very good protein source. Because what we're trying to aim for is, even if you're eating smaller portions, is to eat in balance. So what does that mean? That means eating, protein, which is things like, your meat products. If you don't eat meat, tofu, soya, nuts and seeds, then having your healthy fats, and then your carbohydrate source, which, proteins contain a lot of carbohydrate. So really making sure you eat in balance, and it's delicious. It's wonderful, delicious food. It doesn't have to be boring.
Well, it certainly does sound like it's delicious. As I'm, thinking about it, since I haven't had anything to eat yet today, it's all sounding really good to me. And these are protein dense foods. And as Allison, as you said, you want to eat them in smaller portions because you may not have an appetite. That's it's designed. These GLP-1s are designed to have that effect. We talk a little bit about some of the side effects, and individuals will report side effects that are largely gastrointestinal side effects like nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and constipation. Those are the top four, and they're generally considered mild. And I think for the moment, we want to focus on those side effects. So if you have nausea, we could start with nausea and then vomiting. What are there some ways in which we can deal with that using nutrition?
Yeah, when we look at nausea, if we take nausea first, that really, it's terrible, isn't it, to feel nauseous? But what you want to do, again, going back, don't not eat, because that will actually, or can make you feel more nauseous. But when you're eating, try to eat things that are very gentle, what I would call like gentle foods on the stomach. Things like oats, like, porridge oats, bananas, like plain crackers, those sort of things, just to really kind of settle the stomach down. That can actually really help. One thing that I love is ginger. Ginger is wonderful for nausea, and also if you find yourself that you do actually vomit, it can be very, very calming, and it is actually used to stop people feeling nauseic. And you can use it in a tea. So you can basically just grate fresh ginger and put boiling water over it and just drink that as a tea. And there are ginger, you can make your own shots, can't you, with ginger, where you basically take ginger and just take the juice from it. That's slightly stronger. I think if you're actually feeling nauseous, it may be wiser to drink the tea. Chew well, that's a good thing. Make sure when you're eating that you're really chewing your food properly, because that aids digestion and can help with nausea. But it's really looking at more kind of gentle foods. Don't things like spicy foods or heavy foods like greasy foods can make nausea worse.
So something gentle on the stomach, because we do hear about this. So especially when individuals first start using the GLP-1s and they're not quite accustomed to them, and then when they titrate upward, which is increasing the dose, sometimes they will feel more nauseous. So good advice for them, nausea and or vomiting. What about if you're vomiting, if you're experiencing a lot of vomiting with this? Any recommendations from a nutritional perspective?
Yeah, I mean, it can be you can feel quite acidic if you're vomiting a lot. So again, you really want to think about like gentle foods. I would suggest just eating very plain, like a cracker, a very plain, cracker, just to really get to eat something with a bit with some carbohydrates in, but avoid anything that's got a lot of flavor or taste in it until you've actually stopped vomiting. And of course, it's really, really important that you drink a lot of water. And I would suggest if somebody is, finding that they're vomiting a lot, obviously you would need to speak to a healthcare provider, but using like an electrolyte to replace, any of the minerals that you will have lost through vomiting, because you can feel very weak and fatigued as well if you are vomiting. Stick to plain things, very plain, like carbohydrate, things like a cracker or a piece of bread, and drink a lot of water. Look at electrolytes.
Yeah, compliance. compliance is obviously very important if you want to achieve your goal. I think you said something earlier about contacting a healthcare provider if you begin to have cyclical vomiting, if it's excessive. That is really important advice. But sometimes it will pass, right? So it's a matter of your body becoming adjusted to the dose. And so, but again, if it becomes excessive, and you'll know what excessive is, because to your point, if you feel that you need to add electrolytes, if you're very weak, if you can't stop, then something that you want to take into consideration. Diarrhea is another potential side effect that has to be taken into consideration. And with diarrhea, it's again, if it becomes excessive, if with pain, other issues, fever, you obviously want to see your healthcare practitioner. But how can it be managed with?
Avoiding fatty foods, really like the processed foods, the ultra processed foods, the foods that come in packages with lots of different ingredients that are high in sugar, high in damaged fats. They can really irritate the lining of the gut and the intestinal tract. And because of the actions that these medications have, they slow down what we call gastric emptying. So it's kind of like your whole digestive system takes longer, the process that it does. So if you're eating a lot of these very fatty foods, greasy foods, that can make diarrhea worse. So avoiding those sort of foods, eating a lot of fiber, lovely fruits and vegetables, that is very good for the digestive tract. It really helps with that. And making sure that you're drinking a lot of water, because you can become dehydrated if you have diarrhea. But it's avoiding things like caffeine, alcohol, because all of those things can make diarrhea worse.
Which may not be obvious. You think when you have diarrhea, You want to avoid liquids because things are moving a little rapidly, but you really have to be sensitive to the fact that yes, and you're losing bodily fluids. So you have to replenish those bodily fluids. So you want to make sure that you're well hydrated. Constipation is another side effect that women will sometimes experience with the GLP-1s. Obviously, there are ways to overcome that. But if it is very severe, accompanied by severe abdominal pain, or any type of fever, that is something that absolutely warrants immediate attention by your healthcare practitioner.
Yeah, constipation is, I see that so often in my clients that I work with, and not just ladies or men that are taking these medications. But yeah, it can be very uncomfortable. You get that bloated feeling. One thing, this is something, this there is actually research to back this up, and I use this with a lot of my clients, and it works so well, is kiwis.
Interesting.
Kiwis are a really, really excellent for constipation. And like I say, there's actually research on this. So eating two kiwis a day can really help, to get the movement in your digestive tract. So very, very easy, very nice, very delicious. Also things like flax seeds. Eating, a couple of tablespoons of flax seeds a day. You can either sprinkle them on, some porridge that you're eating, or, other things, a salad, or you can soak them in water, because if you soak them or you crush them, the body absorbs them better. They have a better effect, but they're very rich in fiber. And when we talk about constipation, we need fiber. And in general, we don't eat enough fiber. Fiber is really what helps the motility in your intestinal tract, so you don't become constipated. It keeps everything moving. Vegetables, wonderful form of fiber. Fruits, things like whole grains, your brown rice, brown pasta, quinoa, all the nice whole grain products that are rich in pasta, but sorry, in fiber. Flax seeds are great, and chia seeds that we spoke about before, they're also a great form of fiber. Magnesium-rich foods are very good for constipation, like pumpkin seeds can be very, very helpful. Nuts and seeds, again, they're rich in fiber. Yeah, constipation is it's a common thing for women, but kiwis works for many, many of my clients.
That's fabulous. I didn't know that. We did we did a podcast on constipation a while ago with a gastroenterologist, and obviously it was, it's a hot topic. Ha ha. It is a hot topic, but it can be the source of severe distress, and not just gastrointestinal distress, but psychological distress, because one never knows whether it is something more serious, right? So if it could be, that you have diverticulitis or diverticulosis, both of which can become very serious. So we do want to keep our bowels moving regularly. And sometimes as we age, we don't have that motility that we once had when we were younger. So getting the diet right is so important. That's why this podcast is so relevant. And especially when we've changed the way we're thinking about this next phase of life with GLP-1s. But I do want to focus on the beneficial impact of GLP-1s because they are great medical breakthroughs. They're helping a number of individuals, whether you have type 2 diabetes or whether you are struggling with your weight and weight loss. And we know that increased weight predisposes us to issues like diabetes, cardiovascular disease, depression. If you're a woman attempting pregnancy, can also impact the health of your child and also your own mortality. So these are really important products, but there are some great ways in which we can work with them. And so let's assume you don't have any of these side effects. Yay! But now you're rethinking the way you proceed while you're taking the GLP-1s. And I know we've covered a lot of territory already, thinking more about side effects, but what are the diet considerations that you want to be thinking about while you are on a GLP-1, not having any side effects?
Yeah, great question, Jerry. And I agree with you. I think that it's a fantastic breakthrough, isn't it? Really, that really helping so many people. I think what I see and what I'd like to say is really that they are amazing, but they're not the answer to everything. They work alongside your diet and your lifestyle. So what you really need to think about, if you're having no problems, no side effects, is thinking about what you eat, eating, changing your eating so you're eating balanced, you're getting rid of ultra processed foods, which have been shown in numerous thousands of studies that they are detrimental to our health. And also, if weight management is something that you're focusing on, these ultra processed foods are not beneficial because they're so high in sugar and fats, etc. They work, they really raise your blood sugar levels and are detrimental for your metabolic health. So getting rid of, and when I say ultra processed foods, it's more, the packaged foods, the foods that have many different ingredients on. I mean, unfortunately, the majority of grocery stores these days are full of them. So you have to be mindful when you go shopping and really kind of most grocery stores, if you go around the outside, that tends to be where the healthier options are, like your meats, your fish, your vegetables, dairy products, all of those things. So just avoiding packaged foods because of the ingredients and the effect they have on your health, and eating whole foods in balance. It doesn't have to be complicated. All you're doing is eating foods that nourishes your body. And thinking about, okay, I can't eat maybe larger meals, but I'm going to eat smaller, nutrient-dense meals to really support my health through the time that I'm on this medication. Because even though you will be losing weight, you still want to support yourself with nourishing foods. So protein, carbohydrates, preferably from vegetables and whole grains, and wonderful, healthy fats, like olive oil. Fantastic olive oil is for our health. Avocados, nuts and seeds, good old-fashioned butter, coconut oil, and really kind of steering clear from the refined fats and damaged seed oils that are on the market.
So I love the I love the idea of walking around the periphery of the grocery store because you're right. If you stayed around the periphery, you have fruits, you have vegetables, right? So all your produce, right? Produce aisle, and then your meats and fish. And then, you do have some spices and what have you, but I think about walking around the periphery and picking up what you need. Those are your non-processed foods to a large extent. I guess it depends on the grocery store, but at least my experience has been that that's what you find. And then when we think about, excuse me, vegans, so there are individuals that even though they are vegan, they may still use a GLP-1 because they've gained a lot of weight or they have type 2 diabetes. So they still need to think about their protein intake and whole grains and things of that nature. Where can vegans and/or vegetarians get their protein?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Jerry. And it can be slightly more tricky when you're a vegan or vegetarian to get, a complete protein that has all what we call the essential amino acids in there. Things like soya, the soya products, they are a good source of protein. Quinoa is a great source of protein. If you're a vegetarian and you eat eggs are a wonderful source of protein. Things like nuts and seeds, lentils, all your fabulous like beans, all of those things are really good sources. Tempeh, tofu, and all the different kind of soya products that you can buy. But one thing that I would say about vegetarian, vegan alternatives to meat when you go to that department in the grocery store, there's a lot of products there now. And be mindful because a lot of them are ultra processed. They're just like any other packaged food. And just because you're buying a vegan product, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's any healthier. So just, things like you can buy tofu. You can see like a pack of tofu, preferably if you can buy organic. But when it's had nothing done to it, it's just basically soya tofu product. But I think it's just being a bit mindful about that, of not buying ultra processed foods just because they're for vegetarian or vegan, because they kind of come across, don't they? They sell them as if they're, healthy.
Well, looking at the package, so I always, working as I do in research, I do look at the package and I am very careful to look at all of the ingredients very carefully. And what I've noticed in some of the meat substitutes, because I don't eat red meat, what I notice in the meat substitutes is a high level of sodium. So that's just one example. And then you see some other ingredients in there that look like they should come out of a biochemistry lab and not necessarily to make the kinds of products that you'd want to ingest, right? So could be a different type of a topical product, not designed to be absorbed systemically. So yes, we do need to be mindful of those things. So pay attention to the ingredient list. Be very careful about looking at some of the meat substitutes or even the chicken substitutes. We talk about things like high fatty foods, and I know the healthy fats are really important. So we talk about avocados. I love avocados, but maybe avocados are not your thing. Same thing with salmon. And salmon's an easy one because you can buy salmon, lox, smoked salmon. It's delicious.
Yeah, it's delicious. I mean, salmon is such a wonderful source of fatty acids, but it can, as a vegetarian or vegan with fat, olive oil is just amazing, and you can have that on so many different things. Buying a good quality, preferably cold pressed, virgin olive oil. It's worth investing in a good olive oil that's of good quality. But in nuts and seeds that vegans and vegetarians eat, there's a lot of healthy fats. Coconut oil you can cook with. That's actually very good if you're going to be cooking at a high temperature, because it has what we call a higher burn point. So that's good if you're really going to be frying things that you're eating. And then there is actually in algae, so in certain forms of seaweed, you can find omega-3 fatty acids, which are very important for health. Because a lot of people tend to take supplements with omega-3. I think vegetarians and vegans in particular, if they find it hard to get enough in their diet, then there are some good quality supplements made from algae.
Interesting. I haven't seen that, but now I'm going to go and investigate that. We also look at what happens to your gut health when you're on a GLP-1. And interestingly enough, it actually has the research has shown that it has a beneficial effect on the gut microbiome. But now let's move to what happens after. So now you've achieved your weight loss goal. Your blood sugar is stabilized. You want to keep it that way. Now we have to pay attention to things like your gut health. We need to pay attention to maintaining that weight loss.
It's very good, I think, that we talk about this, because the research at the moment, we haven't, because these medications are relatively new for weight loss, we haven't really got so much research on the what happens when we stop taking them. But what we do know is that, they suppress appetite. So when you stop taking them, your appetite will gradually come back. So you, exactly as you said, you have to have a plan. I would recommend for anybody that is coming off them to work with a professional to really give them the support and the guidance that they need, so they can move forward and keep the weight off and keep feeling great. You want to look at blood sugar. You want to look, like you were saying, at maintaining the muscles you've got, or even maybe trying to build a bit of muscle that you might have lost during all the weight loss. And that comes down to eating protein, making sure you're getting enough protein, and also strength training. I would recommend that, well, I would recommend it for everybody, but when you're on the medications as well, is to really just do some lift things, basically. You've got to resistant training. It doesn't mean that you have to go and spend hours in the gym, but making sure that you're doing some sort of resistance training, even if you do it at home, because this helps to keep your muscles strong. Eating protein, regularly at every meal will also be beneficial to your muscles. But I think you have to get into the mindset when you come off these medications is that, okay, now I have to move forward in my lifestyle. I want to keep the weight off. I can't go back to what I was doing before because obviously it wasn't beneficial for me. And because your appetite will gradually come back, you have to be very mindful of portion size, because it's quite easy, isn't it? As your appetite increases, that your portion size increases. So being mindful of that. One thing that I use that's very simple is to use smaller plates. I know it might sound very, very simple, but to even, we love food, don't we? Food is delicious. If you have a smaller plate, but it's full of food, you think, oh, this is great. Look, oh, this is delicious. Whereas if you have a larger plate with a tiny, small portion on it, you think, oh, is that all I'm allowed to eat? It's kind of mind games, but it does really work. I use that a lot with my weight loss clients. And then making sure that you're again eating enough food so you're nourished. You shouldn't be feeling hungry all the time, because that can be quite, it could be quite dangerous, because that could trigger off, eating maybe foods that you shouldn't be, like the processed foods, etc. So eating regularly, watching portion control, eating in balance that we've been talking about, protein, fat, good quality whole grain carbohydrates, vegetables, drinking water, having a plan, I think, is important. Moving as well, of course. I mean, not only strength resistant training, but really having some sort of movement in your daily life is really important. It's a new beginning, really, isn't it? When you've lost all this weight, it's like, okay, now I'm going to move forward with the new me, and I'm going to put all these new things in place.
It is. It's a new it, the game plan, though, you said this earlier, has to be one that includes some support, because let's face it, it's hard work losing the weight. Maybe it took you a year. It could have taken even longer than a year, but whatever period of time was invested in reaching this goal that you have, you want to be sure to maintain it. And sometimes that's challenging if we don't have a support system. And the support system is like anything else. You need to have family support. You need to have your friends supporting you. So if your friends are encouraging to do bad things like binge drink or binge eat or eat the wrong kinds of foods or kind of be a couched potato all the time. So surrounding yourself with a support system could be a group of individuals that are, running, walking, what have you, working with a nutritionist, working with a personal trainer, so you can do that resistance training, which at least some of the research that I've seen suggests it's not 150 minutes per week, but more like 250 minutes per week, which seems daunting. But we talk about exercise snacks, so doing some of the work in the morning, whether it's your 30-minute walk in the morning, or 2 15-minute walks in the morning and the same in the afternoon, and maybe getting on a bicycle, stationary bike, going to the gym, spending a few minutes at the gym, it adds up. So it sounds like a lot, but if you spend 60 an hour a day, 4 days a week, you're almost there, but break it up over 7 days and you can hit that goal. The other thing I was thinking about, sometimes we are thirsty, but think we are hungry. So we eat in lieu of drinking. So my grandmother had this trick. I wanted to ask you if this was something that made sense. My grandmother had this trick where she would drink water before she would eat her meal. And then she had her little plate. And her pl to your point, she actually had small plates. And she it looked like you had a lot of food on that plate. I think she did it because she had a lot of kids, so she didn't have a lot of food to go around. But you drink the water and you were less hungry, so then you'd eat your meal. And then the other thing she did, which I thought was rather interesting, warm water with lemon after the meal. What I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Now your grandmother sounds wonderful. Yeah, water is it's very true what you're saying, Jerry, is that sometimes when we're feeling hungry, it just is that we're thirsty. So if you when you feel hungry, drink a big glass of water and see if that hunger passes. And absolutely, I mean you can do that before a meal. Just you would if you're hungry because of thirst, because of dehydration, then it might not you might not eat as much. That's really what the water could do. Lemon in water. I have actually never heard of people doing that after they've eaten. I've heard, you know, it's something that I recommend to certain people in the morning. Like the first thing that you drink before you eat breakfast is a glass of lemon in water, because that can also it can help to aid digestion. It kind of gets your digestive juices going. But yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? What our grandmothers, my grandmother was the same. She had some amazing things that she used to eat. I really wish that I'd sat down with her and discussed it. Because when you're younger, you just think, oh, what's she doing now? You just think, oh, you know, you don't appreciate it like you do when you're older.
Well, they didn't eat the processed foods either. So some of the basics that we understand, that you understand as a nutritionist, as a nutritional therapist, really are lessons that come from ages old, tried and true ways of remaining healthy. When we didn't have processed foods, when protein came from a lot of vegetables and beans and legumes and things of that nature, they just they were passed down, but then we added science and technology, and we ended up with a lot of processed foods because we want it now, right? We want it quick. We don't want to go in the kitchen and spend an hour preparing something. We just want to go into the micro, throw it in the microwave, pull it out of the microwave, and sit down, and then get on to the next thing. But it really does make sense what our grandmothers taught us. Probably could be incorporated into much of what you recommend to your clients. But with the GLP-1s, it really is a journey, and it's not over when you stop using the GLP-1. It's just the beginning of the new phase of life. So are there three or four points that you'd like to leave our listeners with as it pertains to what they do in the journey after they've completed this work?
Get support. Don't try and do it on your own. Get a plan. Work with a professional nutritionist or nutritional therapist to really get a plan so you can move forward. Don't starve yourself. You know, eat regular meals, balance protein, fat, carbohydrates, as we've said. Keep hydrated. You know, really make sure that you're drinking enough water. This is not just for to stop you feeling hungry, but it's also for energy levels, you know, to hydrate and feel fantastic. So water is a major thing. And also be, I think, just be kind to yourself and be mindful of what a fantastic journey you've been through. And you've now lost all that weight, you know, it should be celebrated as well. But really think of it as that moving forward is a new phase. Don't go back to what you were eating, or maybe it was processed foods or whatever. Just move forward and be happy and congratulate yourself, because it's fantastic to have achieved that.
Showing ourselves some grace is really important. We tend to be really hard on ourselves. So how would you treat your best friend that just went through this? You should be your best friend, right? And treat yourself the way you would want to treat others who had just been through this fantastic journey. And so when you look at yourself, maybe you're not perfect, and that's okay. So give yourself some grace. I love that. I think that is wonderful advice. And get your support system too. I also love that, because we do need others to support us, especially when you've been through this probably most significant, one of the more significant battles of your life. It's tough. This is tough work. So good on you for doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Allison, it's always a pleasure to work with you, to collaborate with you on these podcasts. And this is always great information. So it really is food as medicine. It starts there. It starts with nourishing our bodies properly, taking care of ourselves, getting the best that we can out of our bodies, and showing our bodies some grace.
Thank you so much, Jerry. It's always a pleasure
Thank
to talk
you.
to you.
Thank you. And to all our listeners, please love me a vita. Be well. Thank you for joining us on the Love Mia Vita podcast. Love Mia Vita means love my life, and that is a mantra we should all live by. Please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and check out our website at fempharma.com. Remember to live well and love Mia Vita.